Hey there, welcome to Takeaway with Sam Okus, a podcast from Nation's Restaurant News. I am Sam Okus, editor-in-chief at NRN, and I am glad that you can join us for this show where I give you an all-access pass to the restaurant industry's most influential decision-makers. This week, I'm talking with Peter Cancrow. He is the founder and CEO of Jersey Mike's, the sandwich chain that has become one of the fastest-growing restaurant companies in the U.S., crossing $2 billion in sales and 2,000 locations this year, while projecting more than 500 new stores between 2021 and 2022. You heard me, 500 new stores expected between this year and next year. Before I jump into that conversation with Peter, though, I do want to tell you about a few other ways you can connect with NRN. Not only can you subscribe to our monthly print edition and daily AM newsletter at nrn.com, but you can also subscribe to NRN's other podcast, Extra Serving. That's where our editors discuss the hot button issues of the day, and we share interviews with a wide variety of restaurant personalities. That includes this week's episode with Capriotti's and Wingzone Chief Development and Operations Officer David Bloom. He joined Joanna Fantozzi from our team to talk about how he and his team are revitalizing the two brands with a huge focus on technology. Stay tuned for that episode later this week at Extra Serving. You can also connect with us face-to-face. That's right. It is a last call for our live event, Create the Future of Food Service, which is next week in Denver, October 4th through 6th. Whether you live in Colorado or you're up for a last-minute trip, we do still have registration spots available for this one-of-a-kind event featuring executives from brands big and small, including Chick-fil-A, Chili's, and Pizza, Chipotle, P.F. Chang's, and so many more. Trust me when I tell you, this will be a unique experience, unlike any conference you have ever been to, giving you more direct access to the food service leaders that you want to hear and learn from. Plus, we will be coming to you live from the floor, broadcasting Takeaway and Extra Serving directly from Denver, featuring many of our speakers, but also some very special guests, maybe even you. Visit informaconnect.com/create for more information and to register. That's informaconnect.com/create. Jumping now into my interview with Jersey Mike's CEO, Peter Cancrow, and don't forget to stick around after the interview as I will share my four takeaways from this discussion, actionable insights that you can take with you on the go. All right, Peter Cancrow, thank you so much for taking some time to chat. Now, Peter, I start a lot of the interviews I do today asking people how their recovery is going, because for most people it is, you are recovering from the pandemic. What's the state of that recovery? I don't think I need to ask you that, because there was no recovery necessary for you guys from the pandemic. You guys cruised through last year. Tell me about the success you had through the pandemic. What was 2020 and early 2021 like for you guys?
Sure. So we talked about it a few times, but again, we were fortunate to be able to be open and serve. And we just really took off. So we were one of the businesses that were on the front lines, sometimes the only store that was open in the entire shopping center. So our online order app and the third party delivery, again, which we were the first to integrate with Uber, first to integrate with DoorDash in the nation as far as brands. So we always like to call ourselves the IT company, if you will. So that really resonated for us. So we, you know, really a strong foothold. We went up, you know, our same store sales went up from 19 to 20 and then 20 to 21. You know, we were up about, you know, 30%. And, you know, it's just incredible margins. And then the delivery and all that are tremendous numbers to report. So transitioning, we had to coach the troops, talk to the crews because of the accelerated volume. So we added, you know, so much additional bread for them to keep up with the demand and supply, to be up like 40 something percent, in sales. Yeah. It's tremendous.
Yeah. So it's one thing to have these great tools that allow customers to more conveniently access Jersey Mike's, but obviously customers need to know Jersey Mike's is there in their community and want to come order Jersey Mike's. And you guys did incredible work last year, both in philanthropy as well as in marketing. You guys stepped up your marketing efforts with some national advertising. Tell me how those played into your success as well.
Okay, great. So it was nothing planned. We were down 45%. Two consecutive weeks right after the pandemic started. And I said, enough, I reacted. All of our marketing in the past was sports, and a lot of other things, but mostly sports on the TV. So for the first time ever, I said to our marketing department, I'm going on, and never had done advertising before. And we went on all the news programs, ABC, NBC, CBS, nighttime, and morning shows, and Fox, and CNN, and just lowered the gauntlet. And we went nonstop every week, and we spent, you know, an additional, was approximately $30 million on marketing through 2020 and part of 21. So that made us our brand. You know, 30 years ago, they said to me, you really need to increase your brand awareness. I said, what are you talking about? Well, now I know. And we increased our brand so well that now we open up in some of these rural areas way out and people know about us. And it's just really lighting up markets around communities and cities and suburbs. Jersey Mike's now, we feel, has become a strong brand presence because of the marketing. And then obviously because the teams came through, speed of service, putting enough meat on, fresh sliced subs to order and fresh grilled to order is critical. So all of our cruise teams came through with the increased business, which really hit them pretty hard because we just launched our business right in the beginning. It was up 15, then 25 the last quarter. Then it just kept going. The first quarter of 21, second quarter, 35%, 40% up.
Wow.
That was just incredible.
That is incredible. Yeah, I'm glad you brought up that bit about expansion, though, into some of these markets. I mean, because for myself, I grew up in a rural town. I had never heard of Jersey Mike's until I graduated from college and moved away. And Suddenly I see this great brand. I'm like, what's this all about? But the point is that, you know, you guys, while you've been across the country for a while now, you haven't really been a household name. It feels like what has happened in the last couple of years is you guys have really become a household name. Tell me about that process, because I assume that changes your strategy a little bit. Now that you've sort of opened some doors, how does it affect how you guys approach this notion of expansion?
Well, we've always grown from within and slow, deliberate growth. But last year we opened about 210 stores. The years prior was like 165, 175, 185, and then 210. And this year it's going to be about 255 stores with 2022. We feel we're going to hit that 300 mark. And about 85% of the existing growth is from within, existing franchisees continuing, and definitely some outside new people always coming in. But where we see the growth is from within, the people that you go into the stores and see them behind the counter. How long have you been doing this? Well, you know, about 3 or 4 years. And they, a lot of them are looking to move on, but we want a path for them to open their own store. So that's how we see gaining up over 300 to 400 stores a year, but without, you know, definitely with our infrastructure around the country, our area directors, we have, again, satellite offices all throughout the country. People get up every day, they're partners of ours. They never pay to be in, they just work with us. Very different than most concepts. And we work collectively. We've got an unbelievable team all across the country, that infrastructure. So that supports our growth, help find, identify sites, new people coming in. And again, we're on the rise. Our average unit volume has been incredible in the business model as well. But when you open up in Bozeman, Montana, and, you know, Fayetteville, Arkansas, and oh gosh, Clinton, North Carolina, way out going towards the beach, and outside of Asheville, these remote towns, and the sustained volume of the shops have been incredible. The 1200 square foot stores, hitting tremendous volumes.
So the numbers you are throwing out here, by the way, I need to double check this, but I mean, I think this makes you the fastest growing company, restaurant company in America, based on what I've seen in the data. I need to double check this. I'm not going to make any assertions here.
It's tough to be the fastest growing when you have 10 stores and you put five up. Well, that's, you know, 50% growth, or, you know, so now that we're going to finish the year at 2100, if we open up 300 stores next year, we're still up there in double digit growth, you know, that 13%, you know, unit growth. But I think just a couple of numbers, the revenue increase, you know, we went from, you know, like 1.3 billion the end of 19, and we see us being at 2.3 billion by the end of this year. So 65% revenue increase of the company.
Wow, that's incredible. I mean, yeah, this is, and by the way, during a global pandemic, when many other restaurant companies saw their sales drop 20, 30, 40%. So this is really incredible. And I'm just curious, from your sake, you know, well, I guess, you know, the pandemic, of course, changed things for you, I'm sure, no matter what, even if it might have been for the better. How do you feel like the pandemic has affected some of this growth? I mean, has it given you a little bit of a supercharge in some ways?
Well, any of the companies that, again, were mostly takeout, the pizza deliveries, the sandwich shops, small square footage, able to handle the capacity of people to pick up at the door or come into the restaurant when you ate a sub, you were like 8 feet away when you ordered it and walked down the line. And those are the ones that really did well, in spite of ourselves. And then I think really what resonated, though, was when I saw the lines for the food bank lined up for miles, I said, we got to do this. I woke up in the middle of the night, wrote the commercial, and we did Feeding America. We raised over 50 million meals with Claire, the CEO of Feeding America. So things like that, that we just do from the heart, I think the communities really get it. And our day of giving, I don't know if you heard the news on that, it was last March, 7.3 million we raised in 19 and 20, we couldn't do it. And then in 21, we thought maybe 8.5 million we'd raise for our national group of charities, maybe nine. We went to over 16 million. So it just absolutely crushed us. You know, they handled it, but it was just sort of has a life of its own at this point. Now, next year we do the Special Olympics every 4 years. It was in 18 in Seattle, and we're the national sponsors for 2020. It's going to be in June. But our day of giving is going to be in March. All the proceeds are going to Special Olympics. So it's going to be a phenomenal event. And kind of ironic, in 1975, when I first took over the business, I was 18, and I held a Special Olympics at the Beach High School track in New Jersey. A group came in, and here, 47 years later, I'm able to announce the games on Why World of Sports, you know,
that's awesome
having it. So pretty proud moment for our company and for me.
Absolutely. That's great. So, you know, speaking of giving back, something else you guys did last year is you guys committed to, in the year before, I believe you committed to paying for the new retrofits for your franchisees, for the stores. And you also then gave franchises out to folks who were in the system. I'm curious to get an update on that, how that's been going and how the retrofitting across the system ultimately happened through the pandemic.
Yeah, so amazing story there. We completed our retrofits in a year and a half during the entire pandemic time. And Rodney and the construction team, incredible job they did, in addition, opening, you know, 210 stores and 250 this year. So that being completed, I think the same store sales increase hard to measure, but we think it's about 15% lift, maybe even more, you know, as far as doing, you know, you always invest in your company, in your store, and it always brings back sales. People see it, they come in, it's a fresh look. It keeps you relevant with new brands coming in. And I got to tell you, I went into a store just last week for our new campaign of commercials I'll tell you about. And that store was 11 years old, brand new retrofit, and it looked gorgeous. I mean, just really something else to see. Total retrofit of the restaurant, and the company paid for I think we're getting a lot of franchise companies in trouble, you know, because franchisees are hearing how much we're committed to our business partners, our franchisees. I think the old days of franchising and how franchisors did business is really they have to look at from within. It's up to them. Everyone is different, but we have always committed to our franchisees, which we call our partners, our owners. And again, have personal relationships with every single owner, 550 of them now.
Incredible. And yeah, I mean, obviously this is, I'm sure, helping in this expansion and keeping you guys being one of the fastest growing restaurant companies in America. It helps when you have happy franchisees, and obviously they must be very happy when not only are their sales up, but you are doing this for them. Now, I'm curious, just, I've never run a restaurant company and you've been doing this a long time. I'm maybe someday, but I want to know from you, the sake of expansion tomorrow, you could probably, if you wanted to, say, I'm going to open 1,000 locations next year. Like, you could, like, conceivably, if you wanted to, just throw out a crazy number and just shoot for that. How do you keep this pace of growth consistent with what the company can sustain?
Okay. So again, it's earlier I said, talked about our area directors, and they can never be underestimated. Every city in Seattle, in Portland, LA, Inland Empire, Colorado, Chicago, every major city in North Carolina, we have two area directors, Chris Daniels and Andy Kerr, and they cover all the stores in North Carolina. And they have directors under them, and they're in checking on the stores, working with the stores. How's it going? What can we do to help you? The infrastructure there is a critical component to growth. We tell all the owners, you cannot grow unless you've got great people, somebody that can make subs fast and knows what they're doing, that you can put that person to head the store up and be the leader, somebody that's going to pull people along, not push them, have that whole culture that we care about. You know, I talked to it about you in the past that, you know, when I showed up at Mike's when I was 14 years old, my voice mattered. And that's the kind of culture that it was. And our roster is still only about 12 or 13 total. So we can find the people. Our labor thing has been, everybody's being hit, but we sort of are escaping it a bit because it's such a small number of people that we need. So that's how we look at growing. Not so much the numbers. You know, everybody says, oh, we're going to maybe, no, we always target it and we kind of hit it depending on the municipalities now, because it's tough. You don't know what's happening there with them. You know, it's, to get stores open, to get the inspections, it slows you down. So, but we said 250, we have a big board in the office, and I think we're gonna hit that. You know, right at 250. Last year, we targeted, I think, 205, and we hit 210, you know, so. And next year, we feel like 300, and why? More and more, we're getting these managers, assistant managers, that have worked in the business and made subs and understand our culture. We're gonna get them in the store. Now, Hayden and Holly up in North Milwaukee, Wisconsin, they opened up several months ago. They were one of the Coach Rod Smith sponsorship awards, and they're doing fantastic. And
nice.
Great to see, and so many others now. Mackenzie in Southern Orange County just opened up her second store. Again, just was an assistant manager working for finance in Phoenix. I spoke to her dad. I said, what's she doing? You know, and we got her on the phone. She didn't like what she was doing. She wanted to come back in. We got a store open. Now she has a second store. So that is just makes us all really tick every day to see from within everybody fired up to see our growth rising.
This is a really interesting point you bring up. I mean, I know a lot of companies, some of that slow growth can help them make sure that they are careful about scaling their culture and ensure that, you know, if you bring up your own people, you can ensure that culture. Now, when you open 250 restaurants in a single year, there's a lot of people coming in who I have not been a part of the Jersey Mike's system yet. So how do you scale that? And I mean, you know, be their entire teams, obviously not the operator, but the entire team. How do you work on that, you know, bringing in so many hundreds of people every year into this company and ensuring that you can hold that culture together?
Right. So it's not hundreds of people. So if we open 250 new stores, so what's 20%? So that would be, you know, like 35 stores out of the 250 are new people. So they have to train three people for like 3 months in a store. slicing onions, lettuce, tomato, the baking the bread, learning the business, sweeping the floors. So by the time we open, they really get it. So it's a great training system and work. So outsiders become insiders. And we look at people before that they fit our culture, that they care about others, that they care about being part of the community, that they have the energy, you know, because the business is not for everybody. Everybody's got the capital, but, you know, do they have the energy? Do they share our culture? It is kind of most important to us. So area director meets them in the market. They do an in-store experience. We talk to them. The office people meet with them. And then, you know, we're involved in picking the sites. We're involved in construction a lot more than most franchise companies do. Before you sign the lease, we know exactly what it's going to cost, the grease trap, the HVAC, all the hidden things. We've got to be involved. So we made a commitment a long time ago to really touch every single store. And we tell the owners, make sure you watch every sandwich going across that counter.
Sure. Yeah. Well, so I'm going to take a stab at this and guess that you guys have not suffered from this so-called labor crisis we've gone through in this last year, as a lot of restaurant companies have.
Everyone suffered a bit, but yeah, everyone suffered quite a bit. And so have we. But saying that, I just recently was talking to somebody. In 1977, I remember being behind the counter this time of year. Everybody goes back to college, and it was myself and Jimmy Wellbank, who has a store down in Fort Myers, Florida now. But it was just he and I behind the counter. Everybody left, everybody's gone. And by the weekend, we found some additional people by recruiting. So it's always been difficult to get somebody just to work lunch, to get part-timers, college, going to school Monday, Wednesday, Friday. They can work Tuesday, Thursday. Always been difficult play, but again, our culture, our place, people want to work at. We pay a lot more than any other fast food company, fast casual, or at the top of the spectrum. Our company stores now, managers are at a base of 60,000. They work like 53 hours a week, 20% of the profit, so they're making about 115 to 135,000 running a sub shop. Not bad for a young person coming in off on Sundays, half day Saturday. Pretty good quality of life in the restaurant business. No deep fat fryers. We shut down at 9 at night. So we're recruiting a lot from the industry.
Yeah. Yeah, that's great. So I'm thinking about this expansion because, again, some of these numbers are kind of blowing my mind just because you're not seeing, because I haven't seen these kind of numbers for a few years, certainly, you know, not in the last year or two, but I'm thinking you've been doing this 47 years and I've talked to enough restaurant people to know that 1 to 2 is really hard. 2 to like 100 is kind of really hard. 100 to 300. You know, you have these phases of growth with their own unique challenges. You guys are a national, legitimate national brand at this point. And you're talking about going from 2,000 to 3,000 locations in the span of just a couple years. Compare the challenges today of doing that to your challenges of 47 years ago, getting this brand off the ground. What is unique about doing this and your phases of scaling throughout history, what you've learned through all of that?
Wow, that's a big one. So yeah, when we first started, people wanted to take the product and they didn't have anything like it all around. So we had opened one store in Seattle, one store in California, and with no other plan in sight, and then grow from there. But it was pretty unique how we'd win the best sub award by Reader's Choice. And each store would be independent, be successful, and then we would grow in certain areas and markets faster than those. Like North Carolina really made our company back in like 85, 86. We opened a store and it just took off. Ed Yancey and Ken Meyer at the time were our area directors, and they really took the market and really grew it and helped us grow. So from 87, you know, 91 was my toughest time because the banks went out of business and went down. And boy, it's tough when you don't have any capital, and found out about that. And even, gosh, in January of 2006, we were really struggling. It was a tough time. The high-tech bubble burst. Most of our stores in North Carolina, Research Triangle, lost 100,000 jobs, and we slowly came back, but really rose up. We redid all our stores in 06, 07, 08, 09. I paid for that. That was only $15 million back then, a lot of money. And that really turned the company around. We raised up. But now, the past 5 years have been just incremental growth, but steady and slow, 165, 185, 100, you know, each year just sort of, you know, chipping away. And then the business model really just kept rising, you know, with all the quality we have and the ingredients and fresh slice. We win with the labor, and our food cost has been incredible. So we love to have our giving culture, but you have to have a great business model to be able to give. And we have one of the best business models in the industry, bar none. So the growth now, again, it goes back to the area directors, the infrastructure in the country, and we can handle, seriously, we can handle, you know, 400, 500 new stores a year. Because it's, if you talk to the, you know, Dan Shanahan in Chicago or Daniel Watts up in Seattle, can we open, you know, 5, 8 more stores, 10 more stores in your market? He has a team of people up there. Well, yes, we can. So if he opens 10 stores and the, you know, and the 40, 50 markets we're in, and that's what we're doing, expanding in all of the markets. We're in all the states except Alaska. Alaska will come soon, and I believe Vermont. But we're gonna be in all states. But now, how do we grow in the right locations, right people? And we're pretty confident that after all these years of slow growth and cautious growth, now it's really starting to grow, and we're ready for it. So it sounds like crazy numbers, but, you know, 300 stores, 350, we'll see ourselves at 400 stores a year, I think, for several years. And how? From within. People that know what they're doing. And again, similar to Tom Monahan, Domino's Pizza, 1984, they opened 1,000 restaurants. But you had to manage every store for at least a year before you could open your own store. That's unbelievable training. Now for us, we see us going that way where people have worked for several years. Now those people are going to come up and start opening their own stores. And financing, that's critical. But we feel we're kind of a AAA rated company right now. And the finance companies are backing, supporting franchisees that want to come in.
So I'm kind of curious. Yeah.
The locations are key. You know, small square footage, we can go in 1,000 to 1,400 square foot, which is a lot of places buying at the nail salons, the coffee shops. So it's tough. The good real estate has always been difficult.
Yeah, I'm glad you mentioned that, because that was making me think about my next question being, we've talked a lot about the restaurant of the future, us in the media. We've talked about, you know, all of the innovation over the last 2 years and what that means for the restaurant of the future. And, you know, crazy ideas, thinking about how robots and automation are going to change it. You can shrink the footprint, you know, the idea of having 3, 4, 5 drive-through lanes, a drive-in, all this stuff. There are all these ideas out there. And, you know, some of them are legitimate ideas and some of them may be a little bit too fantastical. But I'm curious for Jersey Mike's, I mean, all of this growth, does it look like what the growth has looked like so far as what a Jersey Mike's looks like in a community? Are you just going to stick to what's tried and true, or do you want to kick the tires of these crazy ideas?
Well, I wish you had seen the original Point Pleasant store that did a volume of, I don't know, $110,000, $120,000 a week out of 1,000 square foot. And it had two little counters and no parking, and it was a destination point. So we're in stores as small as 700 square foot. It's always been mostly takeout from the very beginning. And it's funny, when we first started franchising, we went to 2,000 square foot stores. Boy, we learned fast that that's not a good idea. And so we went back to our original model. And that's what's sustaining us, is that the pandemic comes. What are you going to do differently? Sure, you've learned a little bit along the way, this third party delivery and getting the tickets ready. And all the retrofits, we added that second counter, the second slicer, to be able to make those tickets. Because when you go in and order a sub, you don't want to be, you know, waiting and watching the crew looking down at their tickets. That's one of the problems with those tickets. You got to keep studying them. And they say, hey, you're not making my order. Because we still have, now it's about, 60% still walk-in, coming into the store and picking up the bags to go, or going to the line, where 40% is the digital. So a big transition, but still people like to come in. So we have to get them, the speed of service is critical. And we continue to work on that to make the sub correctly, quickly, and get people in and out.
Got it. All right. So Peter, my last question for you is, thinking about this incredible success, not only that you have had over the last 47 years, but just the last couple of years, and thinking about you're in this position with not only incredible numbers from last year, but plotting incredible growth for the next couple of years and getting to yourself to this point where you're opening hundreds of stores every year. I'm just thinking, for you as a leader, I'm sure your goals for Jersey Mike's have evolved over the years. You know, early on, you must have had a goal of opening store number two and then expanding across the country, whatever those goals are. I'm just curious. It feels like you're at the top now. I mean, you've accomplished so much. What's your goal for Jersey Mike? What do you hope to accomplish from here?
Well, if you look at how many years I've been at it, so 50 years. I started in 71 at 14, and now this is the 50th year, 46 as an owner. Right now, when you see that day giving, that's incredible. So imagine this year coming in March, Special Olympics, and we really hit it hard with media and invite the nation in. Can we hit 20 million? You know, it's just incredible what's happened. And our 2000 store, we have a series of commercials coming out this September 7th, and it goes for about 5 or 6 weeks, so through beginning of October. And I come on and I say, Jersey Mike's is celebrating their 2000 store opening with over 2000 local charities served. And then we bring on the charity recipients. Thanks, Jersey Mike's. It made a difference for Cancer for College, where over 500 kids were helped to get to college after their struggle with cancer. Next one comes on. Thanks, Jersey Mike. So that's our celebration for 2000 stores, is bringing in what we do, that giving, you know, making a difference in people's lives. So that, I think, is what excites our whole management team and our franchise owners. They are in it as well. I mean, it's just emotional stories going around the country about this, getting involved in the community. And we've done it since day one. Because of local business guys. I grew up in high school with Bob Hoffman, Hoffman's Ice Cream, and Jack Baker of the Lobster Shanty. Because the two local business guys, I said, well, you know, this is what we're going to do. And we stuck with it. So we really just see our company really just starting to grow. I mean, it's really hitting now. And, you know, 2000 stores, great, but, you know, evolving. You know, I always said years past, you really need about 3,000 stores to be known on a national level. Of course, we full court pressed it with media and spent the money to be known, but the awareness is really, really grows when you get over 3,000 stores, 4,000 stores, then communities really start to know who you are. You know how that goes around the country.
Sure. Yeah. Incredible to think. I mean, I think you're a household name, but to think you could be even more of a household name in the future, that's really awesome to think about, and the impact you're making. So credit to you. Thank you so much for all you do, Peter. I appreciate it and appreciate your time. It's a pleasure as always.
Great to see you again.
That was my interview with Peter Cancro, the founder and CEO of Jersey Mike's. So what should you learn from this interview? Here are my four takeaways. First, if you are in expansion mode, consider making a full court press to raise brand awareness among your potential customers. Early in the pandemic, Jersey Mike's went big on advertising, really big. It committed to spending $30 million to run its first national TV campaign, which Peter said successfully got the brand out of its initial COVID sales dip, but it also opened many doors on the brand's road to growth, particularly in smaller markets and rural areas. Now, I know that not every brand can spend that kind of money, but it is still the case that you need to get the attention of the customers in the markets where you do not yet have a presence. And sometimes the best way to get their attention is to go big, whatever that means for your company. Speaking of growth, my second takeaway is that your brand should focus expansion on your existing operators and team members. Peter said that about 85% of Jersey Mike's growth is coming from existing franchisees, as these are the people who know the brand best, they've connected with their communities, and they are most invested in the company's success. They're a lot more equipped to grow and to grow fast. But it's also important to develop other team members, from your managers to your assistant managers on down. These are the people who are your brand's future, potentially even your future franchisees. Working on that culture and career development with them early could pay long-term dividends. My third takeaway is that successful expansion, particularly national expansion, requires a strong infrastructure beyond your franchisees and your store employees. For Jersey Mike's, that includes having a robust network of area directors who are there to support the franchisees and, as he said, pull them along, not push them. With that support network in place, Jersey Mike's is able to open at a breathtaking rate. My fourth and final takeaway is this. Your franchisees are your most important asset, and you should treat them accordingly. Jersey Mike's incredible growth is impressive, but it is not coming from nowhere. This is a brand that has invested in its franchisees for nearly 50 years, going so far as to pay for their store retrofits as a sign of their commitment. When you develop a strong culture and when you pour into the people who are running your business from the front lines, growth is going to come naturally. Opening 300 or 400 stores in a year suddenly becomes no big deal. Those are all of my takeaways for today. I hope you enjoyed this episode. Please remember to subscribe to Takeaway wherever you listen to podcasts and leave your feedback. You can also email me at sam.okus@informa.com. Thanks again and talk to you next week.